Saudi Arabia's government says it's taking new steps against terrorism. An advisor to the Saudi Crown Prince spoke to reporters 1 month after bombings in Riyadh killed dozens of people, including Americans. Adel Al-Jubeir said his government fired hundreds of Islamic clerics who made inflammatory statements. He also said the government is trying to prevent the flow of Saudi money to terrorist groups.
We will go after the terrorists and bring them to justice. We will go after those who support them. We will go after those who use religion to justify such behavior which is alien to any faith, in particular our Islamic faith.
It's worth noting what Jubeir said and also where he said it. He was speaking in Washington, where Saudi authorities are working to persuade Americans that they're doing everything they can to battle terrorism. Mr. Al-Jubeir's brother is the head of the information office at the Saudi embassy here in Washington. Niall Al-Jubeir joins us for the first of two conversations on this subject. Welcome.
Thank you.
Your government says that you dismissed imams, hundreds of them. What exactly were they saying or doing?
Well, some of them were going beyond the guidelines that were set by the government, and that is mosques are there for prayer and not for political purposes. Some were using inflammatory statements in their preachings, and they were just dismissed.
Can you give me some examples of some things that the imams were saying to crowds at mosques? I assume that the religious police went and actually monitored them. Is that right?
They have complaints. They've monitored some of these people that were preaching violence, incitement. One of the warnings was you don't call people kafir or unbelievers simply because they're not Muslims. That is simply unacceptable. And that in itself is an incitement.
How do you fire an imam?
Well, what you do is a lot of these imams, a lot of these mosques, when a person builds a mosque, either it's built by the government or built by private funding, they then convert it over to the government and say, you know, I built the mosque. The government takes over and they hire an imam to do the preaching and that like. And if he doesn't meet the minimum standards, they'll tell him you can't preach, and that's the end of it.
So you have banned certain people from preaching inside the large government mosques, but if some of these individuals were to choose to go and preach on a street corner, preach in a storefront, preach in a home, no one's going to stop them.
We will prevent them from having a platform from which they can use it and preach. Now, the issue we have also done was the issue of fatwas. Everybody was issuing a fatwa, which is a religious edict. And our religious establishment years ago said not everybody can issue these religious edicts. They have to be issued in an agreement with the Islamic community, yet they still issue these edicts, and most of them are issued online. Now, how can you go after somebody who issued it online on a website that's outside Saudi control in either Dubai or London or even some of them in the U.S.?
The government has also ordered changes in the school books.
There's been two sides on this issue. You have the Chamber of Commerce, for instance, has been pushing for reform on the educational system for some years back. And their argument is we need people who graduate from Saudi Arabia to be able to be functioning in a modern world. On the other hand, we have people who say no. People think there must be more religious education taught in school. But with all the pressure on the Saudi educational system, it makes it difficult to do the changes without appearing that you are caving in to foreign pressures.
Let me move on to another subject here, mm-hmm. if I can. Your government said this week that it's going to make it easier to monitor giving to charitable organizations that some would suspect or even be able to prove connections mm-hmm. to terrorist groups. What made you decide to take that step now?
The problem we've had since the mid-90s or late 90s is we can track money going out of Saudi funds to a bank outside Saudi Arabia. When it gets there, we don't know where it goes. In December, we prevent them from sending money outside the country without going through our Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Next step would be coming in that everything has to go through one charity organization, and that's the way to process the funding that goes out.
What are the rules relating to Hamas?
We do not give funding to Hamas, period. We do not give to independent groups in the territories. Our funding to the Palestinians goes straight to the Palestinian Authority. It goes through international organizations that are in the country operating, and it goes through the Palestinian Red Cross Society.
What if a Saudi citizen sends money to the West Bank and it ends up compensating the family of a suicide bomber?
The way we look at it is you do not punish family members for the evil actions of individuals. Our aid that goes from Saudi Arabia goes to the Palestinians in need. We do not get a list and say, okay, let's look at whoever is on the family who's ever related. And I do not believe that anyone who provides assistance to the Palestinians can be absolutely sure that any of that money or any of the assistance goes to any of these families.
Do you think the bombings 1 month ago in Riyadh really changed the point of view of the Saudi government on this?
What it has done is brought terrorism to Saudi Arabia. People in Saudi Arabia, those who were sort of on the sidelines and looking at terrorism as something that's far away that doesn't really affect them, are realizing it's home.
Niall Al-Jubeir is the head of the information office at the Saudi embassy here in Washington. Mr. Al-Jubeir, thanks very much.
Thank you for having me.
Yusuf Ibrahim has been listening to this discussion. He's a writer and energy analyst who's been reporting on Saudi Arabia for years. And Mr. Ibrahim is becoming a regular guest on this program. Welcome.
Hi, Steve.
So we've been listening to a number of steps that the Saudis are promising to take. How much credit does the Saudi government deserve?
Well, the Saudi government has been taking those steps. But is it enough? That's the question. I mean, it's like turning, if you like, a tanker in the middle of the sea. It's going to take a long time because the opposition, i.e. the Muslim fundamentalist, radical opposition, has had a free field for 20 years in the whole region and in Saudi Arabia. And all other instruments of civil society have been suppressed.
Why would the Saudi government promise all these steps now?
Well, it did. I mean, it came home. I was in Riyadh after the bombing. I saw how huge this operation was, how meticulously planned it was.
This bombing a month ago.
The second thing is there is a debate inside Saudi Arabia between the religious establishment and a progressive element of the society, and there is a debate within the religious establishment itself about what is Islam about. And then behind all of that, you have the Saudi population itself, which is perhaps a more conservative than the Saudi government on its own.
I wonder if there's a risk in the risk for the Saudi government in announcing in Washington that they are taking all these steps.
Yes, there is. A very close friend of mine who was a cabinet minister for the better part of 30 years had invited several people at a dinner the other day, and I asked finally the question, well, what is the proportion of you liberals sitting around this table to the proportion of the people who don't want change, who want the religious police to stay? And the stunning answer was 30 to 70. And I said, who's the 70? And they said, they are the 70. The fundamentalists are the 70.
Well, now, Mr. Al-Jubeir says, look, we have to be careful here. We cannot appear to be caving in to the West. Is he then right about that? Is there a limit to what the government can do?
Yes, there is a limit, but that is not only because of religion. It is also because of the image that the United States of America has created under the Bush administration in this region, which is unilaterist type of policy, a policy that says our way or the highway, and of course because of the strong perception that the United States went into Iraq to widen its hegemony in this part of the world and also control some of its oil resources.
Yusuf Ibrahim has been writing about Saudi Arabia for many years. He's in Dubai. Mr. Ibrahim, thanks very much.
Thank you, Steve.